Well, I also thought a little bit about some things about Peter, and recalling back to when I first met Peter, I wandered up to Madison in the late 60s, and I think it was 1969, actually. I was in my second year as a graduate student, and Peter, I think, was coming back from the Institute. I think had been maybe on leave the first year I was there. And I'd gone to Madison to study differential equations or sort of R.H. Bing type topology. And so there was a pair of topics courses were being offered that fall in 1969. And one was R.H. Bing on the side approximation theorem, which basically, if you're not an expert in this stuff, is kinds of properties you need to put on an embedding of a two-sphere in R3 to avoid the Alexander Horn sphere, to prove that that it's a standard embedding, the complements ourselves. And the other course was a course by this young assistant professor, Peter Orlik, on, I think it was surgery theory. I think simply connected surgery theory, some notes from the Browder's notes, I think. And so I thought, well, you know, this is sort of like a reality show. I could sign up for both topics courses and see which one I like. So I signed up for both topics courses, and I went to the course that R.H. Bing was teaching, and I realized this is really hard stuff, and I can't do this. And then I went to Peter's course, and I realized this is really hard stuff, and I can't do this. But something happened during Peter's course that made me think this was a person that was really interesting and somebody that I would want to study with. We were talking, I think, about cobordism groups, and so as you do when you're teaching, Peter said, "Now, what would be the identity element in the cobordism group?" And you know, like 12 of us graduate students sitting there, and we're all sort of kind of afraid of us, any of us to say anything. Well, I think it's a sphere. You know, we weren't sure. Nobody said anything. And you could just see Peter beginning to get just a tad bit irritated at us, thinking about it. And I thought, well, this is good. He's, you know, this is serious. This is important things. I like this. And so I thought, well, you know, then I kind of began to move over to that camp instead of the other camp, if there were camps. And I learned later on that it was a good choice. A lot of good times there trying to be a graduate student. Peter is very forgiving. He forgave me dropping an air conditioner on his finger. He forgave me showing up homeless in Oslo, Norway at the airport at night. He bailed me out of that one. And many other things, actually, too. So I have a lot of things I owe to Peter over the years. Peter originally, well, I shouldn't say originally, was doing transformation groups and wrote, I think, probably the definitive article on C-star actions on surface singularities with Phil Vogreich. And then in Oslo, about 1971, I think it was, wrote kind of a definitive book on Seifert N-manifolds. And then about 1976, I recall a conversation with Peter where he said, you know, I went out to this conference in, I think it was maybe Amherst, I'm not sure. He came back and said, you know, transformation groups are kind of, I don't know if he used the word dead, but are beginning to get kind of specialized and, you know, they're very technical and detailed. I think maybe something else, you know, maybe a person needs to go in another direction. So then there was a meeting in, I guess, 81 that Hiro talked about. And I remember in 1983, I think it was probably Peter and Hiro and Mike Falk came down from Madison to Iowa City and visited. And I guess at that time I thought maybe I should start thinking about hyperplane arrangements. And so I did, and I think we all, of course, owe Peter a huge amount for basically taking what was some interesting examples involving reflection groups and so forth, and really turning it into a subject that we can go to meetings at nice places like Toronto and Berkeley and Hokkaido and so forth, and actually have a subject of arrangements of hyperplanes. So I want to talk today. I know Peter would certainly want me to do some mathematics here and before we go on. Anyway, I want to talk about homotopy and twisted homology for hyperplane arrangements. And this is sort of a semi-survey kind of thing, but I do want to talk a little bit about some new things also. So some standard, of course, terminology and notation and a little bit of introduction. I'll come back to a lot of these ideas in more detail later. I guess I'm sort of assuming that everybody knows at least something about this, but maybe most people don't know all these nuances. So I want to look at a complement of a complex hyperplane arrangement. And, of course, the standard example is the braid arrangement, ZI equals ZJ, of hyperplanes. Look at the complement in the complex vector space CL, and that complement is well known to be aspherical. All the higher homotopy groups vanish. The proof is Fidel-Neuwirth by iterated vibrations. You just project, forget the variables one by one, and use the homotopy exact sequence, and you get the conclusion. Hattori showed that for generic arrangements, the higher homotopy groups don't vanish. So that means it's kind of interesting. You'd like to understand what those groups are, naturally enough. There's probably something interesting there. Breeskorn and then Peter and Lou Solomon really explained how to look at the standard integer homology of these things via the intersection lattice. We understand that really quite well. And so one might hope to understand where the homotopy is coming from by simply looking at the Hrejewicz homomorphism from the higher homotopy groups to the homology groups and see how much the homology detects of the homotopy groups. So here's the theorem. That homomorphism is zero. So just for reference, I'll call that vanishing theorem, and end of story. There's nothing there. So let's see. 6 minutes I've got some time left. So I'll go on. A year or two ago, Yoshinaga proved the following, a non-vanishing theorem. Anyway, non-vanishing theorem that says that if you do things right, you can detect higher homotopy groups. There's other related work I'll talk about later, but this is a really nice theorem. It says if you look at a local system, local coefficients, complex rank R, on the arrangement complement, take a generic hyperplane section of that and look at the arrangement that you get in the generic hyperplane section, call it M prime. You look at the a fancified version of the Hrejewicz homomorphism, where you tensor with the stock over a particular point in M with the integers, and look at the, it would now be the L minus first homology, and that should be an M prime instead of an M on the left-hand side. So that would be the highest homology group of M prime. Then that map is onto, and so you see all, I shouldn't say you see all, but you see a significant amount of homotopy because the homology group in the non-resonant case is sort of picks up all the non-zero homology. So it actually has rank equal to the absolute value U of the Euler characteristic of M prime. So this seems interesting. Now you can, in other words, you can see some homotopy in homology as long as you use twisted coefficients. So after Masiko gave this talk down in Baton Rouge, back in March, I think it was, Mike Falk said, you know, this seems sort of odd that these classes are spherical and twisted homology. What's going on? And so I decided I should think about it. And so I thought about it a little bit, and it turns out that you can get some somewhat more general results, and you can do them in a setting that sort of connects both the vanishing and the non-vanishing theorem in one sort of context, one sort of situation, and see what goes on. And so I want to explain that, but I want to do some background first. So I like to oversimplify things. And so to oversimplify things, what does a complex arrangement complement have going for it topologically that an ordinary topological space doesn't? Well, so there are three, you want to do things in threes, so three things that happen are what I call locality. This is the what's called the Breeskorn mapping. The Breeskorn homomorphism is an isomorphism. Here I'm looking at the M sub Z, I think it's what Hero called M sub X. I take a lattice element of rank R. I look at the arrangement of all hyperplanes containing that lattice element, and I look at its R homology. I take the direct sum over all lattice elements, and you look at the inclusion-induced mapping, and that gives you an isomorphism on cohomology. There is this property of toroidality, torusness, but I was trying to preserve the ality part, that the cohomology is generated by logarithmic one-forms, or homologically by little small loops transverse to the hyperplanes. So that, of course, is like a torus, and so there's something of that going on. That sort of observation, I think, is Arnold in Breeskorn. And then the third property is, well, it's basically that the complement has the structure of an n-dimensional CW complex, and then it turns out you can actually take that to be a minimal CW complex in the sense that the Betty numbers, well, the number of cells matches the Betty numbers. If you look at Yoshinaga's proof of the non-vanishing theorem, it seems to use the minimality crucially, and that's one thing I was wondering about. Is that minimality really part of what you need? The proof of the vanishing theorem, that the Hrejewich map on ordinary non-twisted homology is trivial, uses, basically, it comes from the fact that, of course, for a torus, the Hrejewich map is trivial because there's no homotopy theory there. And so it does use that toroidality. So in some sense, what I'm trying to get at is which of these properties are important for understanding what's going on and what's the interrelationship. Okay, let me do a little bit of background on higher homotopy groups of arrangements. So this is just kind of recalling what is known and some facts. Most of these have been around for a while. As I mentioned, for the Braid arrangement, the complement is aspherical. All the higher homotopy groups vanish. For a lot of real reflection arrangements, Breeskorn took the same idea of iterated fibering, and this was 1971, I think, in the Bourbaki seminar paper, showed that they are aspherical. Then Deligne proved that all real simplicial arrangements, simplicial simply means that a real arrangement is defined by linear forms with real coefficients. If you look at that real arrangement, you get a simplicial subdivision when you intersect it with the unit sphere in RL. And so Deligne proved that using that simplicial property, that real simplicial arrangements, and therefore all real reflection arrangements, are aspherical. And then Mike and I sort of observed that there are other arrangements for which you can do iterated fibration arguments to show that those are k-pi-1s, and then Hero actually observed that those were proved, that those were the same as super-solvable arrangements. And then finally, a conjecture that had been around for a while, and for complex reflection arrangements, Peter and Lou Solomon did most cases, and then Deceased did a more unified proof, I think, for all complex reflection arrangements. So there are a lot of arrangements that have aspherical complements. So there are a lot that don't. Hattori produced the first example. Generic arrangements aren't. Other times you get conditions on the fundamental group or something which prohibit this, and Mike has done a lot of that. Many times you can determine more about the higher homotopy groups, hypersolvable, basically generic sections of supersolvable arrangements, are known more precisely. You can compute specifically some of the higher homotopy groups as Z pi modules. And iterated generic sections, so that was Papadima's issue, and then Dimkin and Papadima did iterated generic sections. On the other hand, you shouldn't expect very much unless you have a very special arrangement. So for instance, there was a conjecture for a while that free arrangements might be aspherical, and an example of Edelman and Reiner show that they're not. And then during Hilo's talk this morning, I realized that totally free arrangements, because they're products, they decompose into products of one and two dimensional ones, actually are aspherical. So there should be another line there due to Hero that, due to Terrell, that totally free arrangements actually are aspherical. So that's sort of the history of what's going on. And then for real arrangements, finally, there are a number of ways of getting at very explicitly the attaching maps in minimal CW structures. So, including many people here that you can ask about that. So, one can, in the real case, one can, if you're willing to do a certain amount of calculation, sometimes get a really good handle on what's going on. Okay, I want to do a little bit of background on local systems as well, just more or less for the language. As probably everybody knows what a local system homology is. So I want to look at a topological space. And by the way, I do want to go to general topological spaces for a while, because part of what I'm trying to do is just ponder what one can prove without all of the properties that arrangement complements have. So we do need a topological space which has a universal cover, so it has those funny connectivity properties. And if we have then Z pi, the group ring of the fundamental group, we take a module, a Z pi module N, which we can think of either as an action of the fundamental group on N, or as given by a homomorphism into the automorphism of group N, then we get a local system on N, and one can sort of algebraically define homology with local coefficients by looking at the chain complex that you get by tensoring the chain complex, ordinary chain complex of the universal cover with N. You can also build a local system of groups over your space and think of it more sort of topologically. And some business here about left and right modules to make things work out, because we're working over a non-commutative ring. But tensoring over Z pi has the effect of dividing out by the group action. That's the way to think about this. What about those three properties of topological properties of arrangements? How does that fit with local systems? Well, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. Local systems and that property that I called locality, the Breitscone homomorphism, in order to have that defined, you need to be able to restrict your local system, so it needs to be trivial around some hyperplanes. Dan Cohen has looked at that and obtained a number of results there. Minimality works quite well. The equivariant chain complex that you get is independent of the CW structure due to Dimkin and Papadima. Toroidality is not going to work very well, because you generally don't have much first homology or cohomology when you look at coefficients in a local system. Generally, that is, for generic local systems, there's nothing there. But I do want to talk a little bit about that vanishing theorem in the context of local systems later. So, things have to get a little bit technical here, and so I'll try to keep the technicalities down. There is a twisted version, the standard Hurwitz theorem, which says the following: if you have a pair, an n minus one connected topological pair, n greater than or equal to 3, so in particular x and y have the same fundamental group, and you look at a local system on x, then you get a Hurwitz isomorphism from the nth homotopy group tensored with n . And here, this is really the copy of the group associated to N over a base point into the local system homology of the pair XY. And this is natural in the sense that if we look, this is a misprint here. The Y should not be there, and I suspect on the next page, the X should not be there at the top. So if we look at the absolute versions, then we get a commutative diagram between homotopy and homology, and I wrote it there with the stage where we have the Hurwitz isomorphism sitting there in the middle. Of course, tensor product isn't exact, so we don't have any guarantee that the bottom row is exact. Top row is exact, of course. It'll turn out that it will be, but we won't actually need it in what's going to follow. So that's a basic object that we want to look at, and what I want to do now is try to see how this relates to Yoshinaga's theorem on non-triviality. So in other words, I want to try to get that as a corollary, but for the moment we're still working with just general topological spaces. So here's a general theorem. And this follows, well, I've got a bit of the proof here, so let me actually say a little bit of the proof. The proof is actually almost immediate. While I've got this up, I want to explain it and leave it there for a minute. So if I have an n minus 1 connected topological pair with n greater than or equal to 3, then I want to look at the kernel of the inclusion map from the subspace into the larger space, and the assertion of the theorem is that that's contained in the image of the Hurwitz, the twisted Hurwitz map, if you want, from the n minus first homotopy group, tensored with n, into the n minus first homology with twisted coefficients. And the proof is actually going to be a simple diagram chase. But notice what this says. It says that, for instance, if you know that H sub Y is trivial homomorphism, then its image is trivial, and so that says that I star has to be injective. Now, for arrangement complements, we actually know that. We're looking at one step down from the top homology. If X is an n-dimensional arrangement complement, we're looking one step down from the homology of X, and we're looking in the top homology of Y. And since we know how to compute those homology groups, for instance, in the case where N is a trivial Z system, we know that that map is injective, and that follows from this as a consequence of the fact that the Hurwitz map with trivial, or with product coefficients, product integer coefficients, the Hurwitz map is a trivial map. So that the image is trivial, so the kernel has to be trivial, so that's one-to-one. So it's a beginning of an interrelationship there. On the other hand, well, I have this up here, let me say also, if we know that Hn minus 1 of X with coefficients in N is trivial, think of the non-resonant twisted coefficient case. So suppose N is a non-resonant complex local system, for example. So Hn minus 1 of X with coefficients in N is trivial, so everything is kernel, so the image has to be everything. And that recovers the non-vanishing result. one reason I wanted to do this is what happens in between. What if you have something that maybe isn't the trivial system, which I guess you could think of as being the maximally resonant system, and a generic non-resonant system. So what happens in between? Well, we have a little bit of information here. Again, the proof of this is practically immediate. Since x, the pair xy is n minus 1 connected, pi n minus 1 of it is trivial, so we actually can use right exactness of tensor product to assert that the bottom row of this sequence is now exact. There should be a zero on the right-hand end that got cut off. And then we just chase around the diagram. And so it sort of becomes quite simple. We haven't had to use, if we now think of arrangement complements, we haven't had to use minimality, but we have had to use that a pair of arrangements consisting of an arrangement and a hyperplane section, the hyperplane section is sufficiently generic, is n minus 1 connected. So we are using that bit of CW-ness from it, CW complexness from it. And I've actually said some of the consequences because I wanted to say them while the theorem was up, but we get a number of propositions and corollaries. So the first one here is what happens if you have the zero homomorphism. And as I said, then you get the inclusion map being injective. So of course, as I mentioned here, if you have the trivial local system, then we already know that that map, the Rewitch map, is trivial homomorphism, and so we get that injectivity, which is well known. And in a sense, we're using the same sort of material. This is not really anything terribly new. In a sense, the injectivity follows from the Ehrlich-Solomon algebra, which kind of follows from the Gries-Kohn homomorphism and the toroidalness, the fact that cohomology is generated by rank one elements. And a lot of that sort of follows from the Lefschetz theorem on hyperplane sections, which is also where the CW minimality comes from. So in a sense, all of this is following from the Lefschetz theorem on hyperplane sections. Anyway, if I star is not injective, then H sub y can't be the zero homomorphism. And so we do get some homotopy seen by homology. So now I want to change notation in the middle of the stream. And so I started out with an L-dimensional arrangement, but now to match what's used in homotopy theory, usually you talk about N minus 1 connected, so I want to take L equal to N, so I have an arrangement in CN. So an arrangement pair here is simply going to be a hyperplane, an arrangement and a hyperplane section of it. This is not hard to do. If you take a generic section, you get this. And in fact, if you take sufficiently generic, you get minimality here. And then just proposition 7 is the observation I made earlier that if you take the trivial integral local system and you have an arrangement pair, then you do have the n minus 1 connectivity so that you get the inclusion map from the homology of M prime into the homology of M in degree n minus 1 being an isomorphism. In corollary 8, there is the result for topological spaces, which is a generalization of Yoshinaga's non-vanishing theorem. So it's the same theorem. It's just stated in a little bit more generality. The crucial hypothesis is, of course, n minus 1 connectivity, and also the fact that the local system has the property that the appropriate homology group of X is trivial. And then we do get the fact, then, that the Hrewitch map is onto. And it's restated Yoshinaga's result here. Okay. Oh, I do want to mention, if you look at Yoshinaga's proof, it uses the minimality, but it also gets a very precise result that the N-minus curse homology of, and that should be Y instead of X, that's another typo, HN minus 1 of Y with coefficients in N is actually generated by the attaching maps for the N cells in the CW complex structure. So you get extra information. If you understand the CW complex structure well enough, you're in good shape to understand actually what the non-resonant homology in the top degree of Y looks like. So that's a more precise result that comes from the proof that Yoshinaga gave. I want to skip ahead a little bit, and there's some stuff there about differences in rings, but something that I think is quite interesting is to look at an arrangement complement and look at its covering spaces. There are a lot of interesting covering spaces, and of course covering spaces correspond to local systems, and so what can we say about that for the image of the Hurwitz map? And what can we hope to find, for instance, of course, for a cover, the homotopy groups don't change. On the other hand, if we look at the homology of covers, we're looking at local coefficient homology. And so is there a chance that we can recover homotopy groups by looking at that? Well, yes, of course there is. If we think about it, if you look at the universal cover, by the usual Hurwitz theorem, the usual Hurwitz map is an isomorphism on the second homotopy group modulo the action of the fundamental group to the second homology group with coefficients, well, to the second homology group of the universal cover with regular integer coefficients, but that's the same as the second homology group of the original arrangement complement with suitable twisted coefficients, and I want to explain that. So, I mean, I will explain that, but the point is that you certainly can see some of the homotopy theory of the complement by looking at covers. And so a general question might be, how much can you see? You know, optimistically, you could see all. I have no idea. We shouldn't hope for too much, of course. Homotopy groups of spheres aren't completely understood yet, and may never be. So, is there a homotopy theorist in the audience? Higher homotopy groups are hard to understand. But we might, and we're certainly not going to understand anything, well, there's no homology above degree n here because the complement has the homotopy type of an n-dimensional CW complex, as do the covers, of course. And so we're not going to find anything higher necessarily without knowing a lot of general things about homotopy groups of spheres. Anyway, but what can we say for a general arrangement cover? So M is an arrangement complement now. It has the requisite connectivity properties that you need to make covering space theory work nicely. And so we have a universal cover. And, of course, there's the usual, then, bijective correspondence between subgroups of the fundamental group of the base and connected covering spaces. M prime then is going to now, changing notation again, M prime is now not a hyperplane section, it's a cover corresponding to a subgroup of the fundamental group. We can look at the cosets of pi mod pi prime, take those as elements, make the free abelian group with those as generators, that's then a Z pi module, and the relevant fact of is that the cohomology groups then, well, we have this isomorphism down here, the homology groups of M prime, the cover with ordinary coefficients, are the same as the homology groups of the base with these twisted coefficients. And so here's a proposition, and this is actually, I'll give the proof, this is immediate. What it says is, if I look at the projection map P from M prime to M, so this is the covering map, then that induces a map on ordinary homology, and that has a kernel. And that kernel contains the image of a Hurwitz map on M prime. Well, everything is with integer coefficients here, so it doesn't look like there's any immediately twisted homology, but of course H sub J of M prime is the same as H sub J of M with coefficients in Z of pi mod pi prime. If M happens to be equal to M prime, so that I have the trivial cover, then of course the kernel is trivial, and this just says the image is trivial. So it says that the ordinary Hurwitz map is zero. So all this is a generalization of that vanishing theorem I did earlier, but it tells you where you might even hope to look for image of homotopy groups by looking at covers. You have to have a situation where you have a non-trivial kernel of the map induced by the covering map on the covering spaces. Well, proof of that is trivial. You just look at a diagram. Here, the bottom homomorphism is the one that's already known to be zero, and so again, you do a little diagram chase. So what can we say for some specific examples? There are a lot of interesting covers of arrangement complements. I mentioned the universal cover. There are, you know, most of the interesting ones tend to be abelian covers. The Lawrence Kramer Bigelow representations that we use to show the linearity of the braid group come by looking at homomorphisms of the fundamental group of the braid group to a free abelian group of rank 2. And so by taking the kernel, you get an abelian cover. And of course, finite cyclic covers are interesting. The Milne-Friber has been well studied by a number of people for an arrangement. Cohen and Sushu and Cohen and Orlik in particular have studied that, and there are certainly interesting cases where this map P star on the right, the bottom P star on the right, has a non-trivial kernel, and I'll talk about those in a minute. In particular, talk about right away. If you look at the reflection arrangement, so the braid arrangement, consider it in projective space, and I hope I did these calculations right. If not, I'll just say it was probably late at night when I did them. Anyway, what happens, this is an arrangement of 6 hyperplanes. If I look at it projectively, then it's an arrangement in CP2. And so the first homology group is free abelian of rank 5. The six-fold cyclic cover has first homology free abelian of rank 7. So there is extra homology up there. And if you calculate the second homology group, then it's an easy calculation. They have rank, of course, 6 for M. That's a calculation from the Ehrlich-Solomon algebra, the lattice. And 18 for the covering space. Both of these, of course, are aspherical, so there's nothing to be there in the image, while the kernel is, it's rank 12 because it's mapping from something of rank 18 to something of rank 6. That's not the example I'd like to have. I'd like to have, and I don't have, an example where you actually do see some non-trivial, you can use this to pick up non-trivial homotopy. So let's try again. Look at another example. Take the generic arrangement now of 3 hyperplanes. So now I'm looking in C2, looking at the affine arrangement here. So this is the simplest example where you get pi 2 non-trivial. This is Hattori's example. The fundamental group here is free abelian of rank 3. The second homotopy group is a free Z pi module of rank 1 in this case. And for the Milner fiber, it's well known that this map it's another typo there. It's an isomorphism. Now I'm questioning this example. Let's actually, I'll have to think about this example. Ask me later. I think this example is actually wrong. Because what I wanted, what is true is that the map on H1 is an isomorphism. And the map on H2 is not going to be an isomorphism. So I better reconsider this example. So ask me later about this example after I get a chance to think about it some more. And then the third example is what happens if I have, looking at the universal cover, of course, then on the first non-trivial homotopy group in the universal cover, if there is a non-trivial higher homotopy group, then that is an isomorphism. I wanted to finish by at least stating a result for complex local systems, which will come back then to sort of full circle back to the beginning. So let's look at just complex rank 1 local systems. So the module n here as an abelian group is just simply the complex numbers. The local system then is given simply by an automorphism of the fundamental group to a homomorphism of the fundamental group to the automorphism group of the complex numbers, which is C star, which is abelian. So that homomorphism factors through the first homology group. I'm just repeating things that pretty much everybody knows, I expect. Anyway, it factors through the first homology group so that one can think of this as simply assigning a non-zero complex number to each hyperplane of the arrangement. And then, by the universal coefficient theorem, we can identify homology and, well, cohomology is hom of homology. It's in the rank 1 case, so we don't even need to put a little twiddle on here, on L. And so I want to identify homology and cohomology. And that's simply because if you want to work with cup product, you have to work with cohomology, whereas I want to state the theorem for homology. So now let's look at a submodule of the twisted cohomology of the arrangement complement with coefficients in this rank 1 local system, generated by products of degree 1 classes. So if I had the trivial local system, this would, of course, be everything. If you have a non-resonant local system, this is liable to be nothing. And so it would be interesting to have cases where it's something between everything and nothing. Anyway, we have the dual, take the dual in homology, and we get T lower P of M with coefficients in L. So this is just essentially the part that comes from degree 1 classes. And so the result of this is we take, this is modeled on Yoshinaga again, we look at the twisted Hurwitz map. In this case, we get a very concrete interpretation of what the map is. We just take an element at function f representing a map from a J-sphere into M, look at it, regard that as a cycle, and we get an element then in the J-th cohomology of M with coefficients in L. And the result that generalizes the vanishing theorem at the beginning is that for a rank 1 local system, the image of this twisted Hurwitz map intersects this toroidal submodule in the trivial element. And so, again, in order to get something that is seen by the Hurwitz map, you need to have a local system that has some non-trivial toroidal stuff. And then just final remark is if you take, of course, a trivial rank 1 local system, then this homology, this T sub J, is everything, and this just says that the image intersects everything in the trivial element, so it has to be trivial. So that's back to the vanishing theorem that began. And I think with that I will end. I have some references here if anyone is interested, and I'm glad to refigure that example and correct it and talk about it later. Thank you.
Would there be a qualitative relation if you move from rank 1 local systems to more general representations of Sorry, unfair question.
No, but death. That's an unfair answer. I don't see why not. That's sort of a non-answer, but I haven't thought about it. But yeah. I mean, of course, the hope is that there's somehow that you can pick up at least a significant amount of the homotopy theory that's going on here.
Well, before we break for lunch, let me just remark that there are a couple of obvious errors in the schedule, as I corrected there. And there were correct versions of the schedule around, but that wasn't closing. And I think a lot of your programs is scripted with each day, incorrect in the same way. So you can make your changes. And don't forget the TV one about the banquet.